And again, Friday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren McFarland, that's me, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe, alongside for the next 4 hours, taking you into what will be a very hot sports weekend, we hope. Elijah Campbell, manning the board at our game studios, and we got a lot of things to cover, a lot of ground to get into. You just made the list coming up at high noon, pick six at 1 o'clock. Big Joe on the go at 11. We've got a very special guest coming up in about 15 minutes, somebody you don't normally hear on this show, so we're excited about that. A lot of things to get into, including, typically, a lot of times, other than the first week when they try to match up, maybe a Super Bowl matchup or what have you, we know Bucks and Cowboys, that first Thursday game to kick off the NFL season is usually a really good matchup. More times than not, we get a lot of duds on Thursday nights. And to be perfectly honest, I didn't view last night as going to be an exciting game. I viewed it as probably going to be in the dud category. Giants, FTs, it's like, okay. But watched it. Also watched a lot of Ohio in their game because my buddy's son was the punter for the Bobcats. And so got to see him get a little ESPN love last night in Jonah Whelan. But guess what? That Giants-Washington game turned out to be one heck of a game.
Yeah, it was I'm trying to think of the best way to describe it. Like, it wasn't a good game. Like, I'm not going to say, like, man, what a great game that was. But it was exciting.
It was good enough for you not to turn away.
Because at times it was kind of there was some bleep showness with it and some interesting plays. I mean, yeah, it was just – it kept you entertained somehow. That's what it was.
It went back and forth.
Yeah.
And, of course, the ending was incredible. Just like, what?
Well, because I'm like, why are you throwing? And then they end up winning the game. So – it all works out in the end.
Just a wacky, wacky ending to a game. And, of course, can you imagine being on the New York sports scene this morning on sports talk radio, et cetera? Holy cow.
Be pretty easy to do today's show. Pretty easy in New York. I just think they've got issues. I'm curious to see if they can work through the issues or if this is what's going to plague the Giants all season. I'll tell you where I'm going with this. One, what is this for Daniel Jones? What year is this? To see the draft was here. That's when he was taken. So this is year
three,
right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I think outside of his legs, which is fantastic, he's a really good runner. He's their leading rusher. If he's going to be your leading rusher this season, well, you're not going to be playing January football unless they have a regular season game scheduled in January. You're not going to play meaningful January football, because you're not going to the playoffs. That concerns me. And because I still, like, as a thrower, I thought he
deserved better last night, though.
Well, one, he had Slayton wide open. You never see that play in the NFL. Like, you see it in college. You don't ever see that play in the NFL where the defender obviously thought he had help. I guess it was a safety. I don't remember who it was. Linebacker. Somebody thought he had help. Obviously, there was no backside help, and he's just running down the field 20 yards unopposed. Nobody there. You never see that in the National Football League, and Daniel Jones overthrows him in the end zone. It's like, you can't do that.
Isn't that interesting? Because I thought it was more on Jones in real time, but Joe Buck kind of made it sound like it was a drop pass.
I saw the replay many times. I don't think it's a drop pass.
Did he not say it? He kept saying he was calling it a drop. And I was like, that's not a drop.
I'll disagree.
And like Troy Aikman didn't, I don't know if he just didn't want to, you know, go complete opposite, but I expected somebody in there to say, you know, that's a tough catch.
I took that as Troy was just kind of, you know, not going to bury his boy.
It makes the receiver look bad, though, because that's a tough. Now, could he have caught it? Yeah, but that would have been a great catch.
Running full speed? Eh,
that's a really tough catch.
I'm not willing to hang that on Slayton.
I mean,
but they did. That's my point. They did hang it on Slayton. They said, that's a drop. That's not a drop.
I look at it as Joe Milton overthrowing his receivers. That's kind of what it felt like.
Yeah. You went there.
I did.
You could see that.
Did I go there?
Yeah.
I did.
I honestly, it... Joe Milton, honestly, misses by more, if I'm just going to be brutally honest.
Oh, yeah.
Honest.
I mean, he throws it like 20 yards.
Like, that goes into the – it hits the wall.
It's like me playing cornhole.
But at least Jones did not turn the ball over.
I went there, too.
You did.
Jones didn't turn the ball over, which was a positive. And, you know, you're looking at the Giants, you are objectively saying they had the game won. They literally, it was won if a guy didn't jump offside.
Yep.
It had nothing to do with the guy missing the field goal, the penalty. If the guy just doesn't flinch, the Giants are saying, hey, pretty good road win. Went to Washington and won.
I told you, Taylor Heinicke, you questioned Taylor Heinicke.
He
I was like,
pretty
he's
well.
Not that bad.
He actually
I'm
might
you,
be
watching
better.
Him last year. I agree. Yeah, like I would be putting him if Ryan Fitzpatrick was healthy. I would be trotting out Tyler Heinicke next week.
He only made the one bad throw, which almost got him beat.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But to his credit, he got him back down there. He made the plays. I gotta say,
he was solid.
He's probably the guy.
I enjoyed his interview post game too, because you know they had him the NFL Network crew. You know they talked to him, and it was.
Are you being sarcastic?
No, I did. I really? Yeah. I mean, I
thought he was.
He was nervous.
Weird. He was really nervous.
He was but here's why I thought it was cool. That's a guy that just won his first NFL start. Like that's a big moment. Yeah, he's nervous. He was probably peeing down his leg while he was doing the interview, but it was cool because it was raw, and you could tell that everybody on the desk. By the way, Steve Smith, I don't know about that one.
That's what's different about. I mean, that's just what he's.
I know. I just it was just the opportunity.
What
the
did you do something different than
no,
we haven't seen
it was
for
just
years?
The opportunity for me to say I don't know about that.
Yeah.
But you know, Irv and everybody up there, like they were loving it. And you know, and just the job that he did, and so it was cool. And I was laughing at the you know Washington football team fans singing "Hail to the Redskins" during the whole thing.
Yeah,
but I agree with you. I mean, if Fitzpatrick is the placeholder, then they may rethink that. Even though it's only one game, let's see. But he in his appearance last week and then this week didn't look too bad.
Let me just say this. I don't know what his long-term play is. I'm saying short-term, he's absolutely a guy you can trot out there short-term for now until they get their franchise quarterback because they obviously have to figure that out. But I'll say this. He's impressed me enough to say this guy is going to hang around. If he does all the right – and I don't know what he's like as a person. He seems like a really genuine, you know, good guy. Seems like his teammates love him, right? So he's doing all the right things behind the scenes. If he continues to do that, I think the guy will hang around the league for a very long time. I really do. Whether he's a full-time starter or not, I don't know. I'm just saying I like the makeup of that guy. He's not bad. I said that yesterday when you were like, Taylor Heinicke, I don't know. You know, and you were right about the Giants covering. They did. But Heinicke is – and I was like, Heinicke's not bad. And he's actually even better than what I – when I said that yesterday, he impressed me even more. Like I said, I don't know long-term if he can be the guy you can trot out year after year for 17 games. I don't know about that. I still think Washington needs to be in the market of getting that high draft pick or that franchise quarterback, whoever that may be. Aaron Rodgers, you know. If Aaron Rodgers, this is it, then, you know, go out there and make the play for Aaron Rodgers in the offseason. I don't know. How you get to Deshaun Watson, however
yeah,
all that
you're
plays
you're asking
out.
Washington, you're asking that franchise to do something sensible.
Well, I understand. I'm saying they need a franchise quarterback, and until they get to that point, I think you can win some games with Taylor Heinicke in that defense. And while the defense hasn't been great, it looks good on paper, but it hasn't been great through two games. I think on the flip side for me, the Giants just seem like they've got a lot of turmoil. Like it's like too early, right, for Saquon Barkley to be over there doing his antics. It's a little early in the year for Kenny Golladay to be screaming his head off at a coach or whoever that guy was on the sidelines. Joe Judge seems to be wired a little bit tight, right? He seems to be wound up just a bit tight. I don't know. If they don't get this turned around in a hurry, they just seem like a team – that's wired to implode. That's just my optics from afar.
I don't think you're wrong. I mean, they haven't, you know, for deciding that Tom Coughlin, it was time to move on, and maybe it was, but he had a lot of success there, and they haven't been able to sniff that since they let him go. mean, Ben McAdoo was an absolute disaster. And then they've had what? This is now the second coach even since him, because they had Shermer. But I think they got a ton of issues.
Still think that division is going to go right to the wire.
I mean, it might.
That was a dead even game.
I want to see. So to that point, I want to see. You know, this is fandom aside. I want to see what Dallas looks like against the Chargers this week
with all the bodies falling.
I mean, they're
a mash unit right now.
They are. And was it Dak's first game back? They were amped up playing against the defending Super Bowl champions. Played a really good game, a close game, lost on a field goal. And was it just that? Or are they actually a better team? And are they going to be able to overcome some of those injuries? And can they go and get a big win against LA, which is a team with a lot of hype?
Yeah. I don't know. Philadelphia looked pretty impressive. I don't know. I think probably you're right, Willie. It's going to still come down to first team to probably 9 wins. Wins that division. It just doesn't feel like a double-digit win division. But right now, the pace, the AFC South, I don't think the AFC South feels like a double-digit win season, at least through 1 week. And their brutal schedule, right? That's the thing you have to keep coming back to is the Titans and the Colts, like the brutal schedule, having to play the NFC West this season, like not the year to play the NFC West. So we'll see. It just seems like right now, early on, NFC East, AFC South, you may not need 10 wins to win that division. That's what it feels like. All right, we'll come back. Michael Rapaport, actor, comedian, will tell you what he's up to. We will talk to him on the other side as you listen to Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
We are back here on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Chase McCabe here with you. Darren will rejoin us here shortly. We got a really special guest. And I had to say, Chase, I was excited when we learned he was coming to town, and he will be at Zanies the 23rd, 24th, and 25th. 5 shows in 3 nights over at Zanies. And from time to time, we get a chance to catch up with somebody coming through. And this guy is a perfect fit for our show because he's a huge sports fan. Also, I got to ask you, Michael Rapaport, Chase, your favorite Michael Rapaport show or movie?
So there's been a lot of good ones to choose from. You know, I remember guest starred on Friends, which was some funny episodes. But honestly, mine was a show that was on Fox back in the early 2000s called Boston Public. I used to watch that show.
That one, huh?
I love that show. And he played Danny on that show. So that'd probably be my answer.
Okay, I'm going True Romance and Beautiful Girls. Very 1 and 1A right there. But he's done so much, let's actually let him talk. Michael, thanks a lot for coming on with us. We really appreciate you spending a few minutes with us, and looking forward to you coming to Nashville.
Well, I appreciate you having me on. I'm looking forward to coming to Nashville. I've never been to the city. I can't wait to get down there and perform at Zanies next week. I'm looking forward to doing the shows. I'm looking forward to exploring the city. Eating the food, and I'm also looking forward to my number one draft pick in my fantasy football league, Derrick Henry, having his breakout game because the truck is my guy, and I need that high-powered offense to get nutty the way we all know it should this weekend and bring the Seahawks to their knees.
Well, as you can imagine, Michael, we have been talking about that quite a bit this week after the problems last week. And I am also a Derrick Henry owner on my fantasy team. So, yes, we're hoping that they get that right. But it's got to happen, right?
It has to happen. I'm not sure what happened, but it was week one. We move on. We don't look backwards. we have Julio. We have the truck. We have what's supposed to be a high-powered out offense. And I want to get down to Nashville in time for week 3 to be prepared for another win. And like I said, I've never been down there. I'm looking forward to all the food, all the culture. Hey, by the way, can you guys help me? Like, if there's, let's just say one, if there's one restaurant I need to hit up in Nashville during my shows down there next week at Zanies, can you let me know, or could the listeners let me know, like, if there's one restaurant you must eat in while in Nashville, what would it be?
Well,
I know that's a hard pick.
Let's do this. Chase, you're a restaurant guy. Now, Chase's family is the founder of the Loveless Cafe, famous one. That may not be real close to where you are, Michael, but if you've got a little time to get down there, that's a classic
sure.
If you're more towards downtown.
Yeah.
So
man,
what would you say? The Southern comes to mind
The Southern's a good one if you like steak, and it's kind of a mix of your Southern type food and then, a steakhouse.
Yep.
They have oysters as well. If you like barbecue, Martin's Barbecue is a good one. That's downtown.
Okay.
So that's always a good one.
That's a real good one.
People ask that.
Good sports team there as well.
Yeah.
So you get the great barbecue, the great sports team there.
Yeah, people ask that when they come to town, and it's hard to give one answer. there's so many places to choose from.
I told him Prince's.
Prince's is a good spot.
The hot chicken. Oh, yeah. So there you go. You got a couple days, too, to work with.
All right, good. I got to eat early because I know that food is going to be heavy, so I got to be ready to go for my shows down there. But I can't wait, and I'm looking forward to it. And I appreciate you guys having me here.
Well, Michael, as we talked about, you've got a lot of talent. You've been in a lot of TV projects, a lot of movie projects. So stand-up comic, where is that background for you? Where did that start? Did you start as a stand-up? And what do you like to do for your shows?
Yep, I started as a stand-up, and then I fell in love with acting, had a lot of success at acting, and will always be my first love. But in the last 2 or 3 years, I got back on stage. I've been touring and really working on my shows, and they've been fantastic. I'm actually in Miami right now. I got a bunch of shows down here, and the shows are fun. They're personal. They're disruptive. I talk about everything. I talk about myself. I talk about, sports a little bit. I talk about politics. I talk about, growing up, divorce, marriage, kids, everything in between. I get into it all. The shows are loud and they're very funny.
That's the combination you're looking for. That is for sure. So I know you're a big sports fan, Michael, a New Yorker. I know you're Knicks. But we were talking about the Giants game. It was such a great game last night. Were you a Giants fan growing up, or more Jets, or how did you roll?
Giants fan, and I had the honor and privilege of watching the single greatest football player play before me in the 80s and the 90s. And I know this is a sophisticated sports town down there, but I don't need to explain Lawrence Taylor, the greatest football player of all time. The man won MVP of the NFL while on crack cocaine. I don't think anybody will ever be able to duplicate that. The Bill Parcells, Phil Sims, Giants were my my glory days. Of course, we love beating the snot out of the Patriots twice, not once but twice, two times in the Super Bowl. I'm actually happy that I'm able to appreciate the greatness of Tom Brady since he left the Patriots. And the Bill Belichick iron fist down there.
So a tough loss last night for the Giants. And by the way, I'm right with you. I grew up in
tough
New York. Loved watching the Bill Parcells, Phil Sims, Giants. Special teams in LT, what can you say? But, yeah, last night, what a freaky way to lose a game. Tough. I can't imagine what it's like in New York today on the sports talk show scene.
I don't know. There were so many dropped passes by the receivers. And then I saw Galladay. Have they been talking about why Galladay was screaming at Daniel Jones? Because I love Galladay, but you got to catch the ball, And Daniel Jones, has been looking to get on track. I thought that might have been one of his best games as a Giant. And, it was close. I didn't cover the spread. It was a loss in real life. It was a loss, with the betting line, and the whole thing was a mess.
We're talking to Michael Rapaport. He's going to be
that quarterback is good, man. That Washington quarterback. Yeah. What's his name again?
Heinicke.
He's a tough kid, man. I like the way he plays. I mean, that throw was like a all pro throw he made.
Well, and I like how he bounced back. He throws the pick, and then they get the ball back, and he bounces back. It doesn't seem to rattle him too bad, but
yeah, he's tough. I like him.
Absolutely. Michael Rapaport is here with us. He's going to be at Zany's next week. We'll give you more information on that here in just a few minutes. Now, sticking with the sports theme, when the ESPN 30 for 30, I guess it was back in 2014, you directed the one about the Knicks, correct?
Yep. It was a great time doing that, about the championship Knicks teams from 70-73. Fortunately, we're still living in the unfortunately, we're still living in the past as Knicks fans. But it was a privilege to do that. You know, obviously all the 30 for 30s, everybody loves them. So as you know, we won an Emmy for that batch of 30 for 30. So it was a pleasure doing it. You know, I was enjoying the Mets one that came out this week. And you know, everybody loves those 30 for 30s. I mean, the sports documentaries and the 30 for 30s and The Last Dance, I mean, that saved us during the pandemic. That was a great, you know, thing on Jordan. And, you know, I'm excited about a basketball season coming up. Who do you guys root for down in Nashville for your basketball?
It's like, a good question.
Who's the main NBA team?
Traditionally, we don't really have one, but you know, Memphis is down the road, so there's a little bit of adopting them. But that's still like a 3-hour drive, so we're not close,
right,
to any NBA team. So it's kind of a floating thing.
Right, right. Well, you know, Memphis. You know, hopefully they'll get it together. They got, you know, Ja and those guys. Hopefully they'll get it together because they got a young core there.
I'm a huge wrestling fan, Michael, and I've enjoyed. I know you've done some narration for WWE, the WWE Network, and some of their series. I think Kevin Owens, AJ Styles.
Yep.
You lend your voice to a lot of different things as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's always fun. Listen, I love sports. I've always loved sports. You know, I've kind of grown out of, you know, my wrestling passion, but I went through a phase where my kids had me at the WWE events and watching SmackDown and all this craziness every single day of the week, you know, and body slamming them and, you know, going to meet the wrestlers and all that stuff. So that's how I got involved with the WWE. And, you know, like, I'm just a huge sports fan in general. You know, I love it all. I love, you know, the real sports. I love the fantasy sports. I actually love the Real Housewives also. And but that's neither here nor there. But, you know, sports is, you know, I grew up, you know, with hoop dreams. I wanted to be a professional basketball player, and obviously I came up way short, but it's definitely, you know, still a big part of my life, and Sundays are the day to lock and load, and like I said, I'm just waiting for these the Titans to click, and I need that offense to be, you know, humming this weekend.
Yeah, I love it. We'll see. I think they got a good chance to turn it around Sunday against Seattle. As a stand-up comedian, obviously sad news coming out this week with the passing of Norm MacDonald. I don't know if how much you guys cross paths, but a very, very funny individual, and really sad to see him lose his battle to cancer.
Really sad. One of a kind. I knew Norm actually when I first started doing comedy in the 90s. He was always so nice to me. Always so encouraging to me, had a totally unique sense of humor, one of a kind, quirky voice, and, you know, very sad, big loss. And I'll always have fond memories of meeting him when I was, you know, I was just starting out, and he was just starting out in Los Angeles, to be honest with you. This is 90, 91, 92, and this is before Saturday Night Live and all that stuff. And he was always really, really cool and always very supportive to me.
Yeah, absolutely, and just loved watching him on SNL. But you guest starred, I mentioned this at the top, you guest starred on Friends. You were on 4 episodes playing Gary. And what was that like to be able to go on that show? Because when you went on in the, I think it was 99, I mean, it was at its hype. I mean, it was the hottest thing on TV. So to walk on that set and work with that crew, what was that like?
Well, they were all very nice. They were all very friendly, pun intended. They were making probably like $500,000 a week. The schedule was very, very easy to work, so they had nothing to complain about. They were all very cool to me, very welcoming. They were used to having, you know, all sorts of guest stars. I really feel like Phoebe Buffay, Lisa Kudrow, made the wrong choice by not sticking with Gary the Cop. But she has to live with the consequences of that. That's her life, and that's the path she chose. So she has to deal with that.
All right, while we're on sort of the characters that you played subject, as I mentioned, I love the movie Beautiful Girls. And I married into a Red Sox family, Michael, so I had these discussions,
God.
Right? So I've been to many games at Fenway. So Beautiful Girls, of course, for people who haven't seen the movie, it's a New England setting. Right, and you guys have the piano scene where you sing "Sweet Caroline." Now, I looked it up.
Yeah.
When they started doing the Sweet Caroline like they do now every night at Fenway in the eighth inning, that didn't start until after the movie. So I was always curious if they got the idea from what you guys did in that movie.
Oh, wow. Wow, I didn't know that. You know, to be honest with you, I'm not sure. I didn't know that. But, you know, I'm a New York Yankees fan. So I'm not going to, you know, BS you. I can't stand the Red Sox. I did not like having to sing that song over and over and over and over and over. You know, I love the rivalry between Boston and New York sports. It's one of the best in the world. And as I did say, and I always like to remind the New England Patriots fans, the New York Giants and Eli Manning, we broke them down to their knees, broke their hearts twice, two times. Eli Manning beat the greatest quarterback of all time on the biggest stage, not once, but twice. And if the Giants never win another Super Bowl while I'm alive, and I hope I'll live at least 50 more years, I'll always have that great, great, great memory. I don't think it'll get any better than breaking their winning streak in the Super Bowl.
No question about it. So, Michael, obviously you love your sports. We're looking forward to the Zany shows Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Did I get that right? 23rd, 24th, and 5th.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday next week. Friday, Saturday next week.
23rd, 24th, and 25th. Five shows in three nights at Zany's. So we're looking forward to this. And what you're saying is if Derrick Henry runs for about 150, you're going to be in an even better mood for these shows than you already will be.
If Derrick Henry runs for over 100, can I call back like Monday or Tuesday just to celebrate with the locals? Please?
No question.
Absolutely.
No question. We would love to have you on. We will have a big party.
Okay.
And we'll preview the shows again. Michael, thanks a lot for your time.
Wait.
Yeah, this is going to be fun.
I appreciate you guys. I can't wait for Derrick Henry to truck somebody in the first quarter and get this offense going. I love that dude.
It's going to be fun. Michael, enjoy your time in Nashville when you get here. We're looking forward to it.
All right, I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
All right, great stuff. Michael Rappaport, talented actor, comedian. He's going to be performing at Zany's the 23rd, 24th, and 25th next week.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, five shows.
You know, we should have asked him. I wonder if he's going to go to the game. I mean, he'll still be here. He could go to the game on Sunday against the Colts.
Pretty big game.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, if he likes it here enough, he likes the restaurant tips we gave him.
Yeah. There's quite a few. I mean, he can just walk down – you know, downtown. Yeah,
can't go wrong.
And find something.
I think we had good choices there.
Yeah,
Martin's Barbecue is a good call. And the Southern for something a little more upscale.
Yep.
We gave him a couple options. I think you got to make the trek at Loveless, too. That's not a bad thing to do.
Yeah.
Can't go wrong there. All right. When we come back, hopefully we'll get Darren to rejoin us here. We'll talk, obviously, more Titans and Seahawks today with the matchups. We've got Joe Dubin coming up at 11 o'clock to hit the high school scene. We'll set the table for college this weekend as well, with Stanford coming to town to take on Vanderbilt, Alabama headed to Gainesville and the Swamp. Plenty to discuss on the show. You just made the list at 12, pick six at 1. Stay tuned. We're just getting cranking here on Darren, Donick, and Chase.
Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, presented by Curation CBD. Curation CBD, products curated for life. Don't forget, 94.9 is the official English radio home of the Nashville Soccer Club. Listen in tomorrow night as Nashville SC takes on Toronto. Pre-game starts at 6:15. The match begins at 6:30. Don't forget, you can watch the show as we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube every single day, Monday through Friday. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Good interview there with Michael Rappaport, who's coming to town, big sports fan. He brought up Derrick Henry, huge Derrick Henry fan. And it did spark a conversation yesterday as we played Derrick Henry's conversation with the media yesterday after practice. And I brought up to you guys his stats because of one of the questions. It just sparked me to go, you know what? It does feel that way. Let me actually see what it looks like. It feels that way, but is it really that way? Sure enough, his success on the road has been very good. His production on the road has been very good. And so we are going to have a Derrick Henry pick six question around his success on the road last year. 8 road games, 7 of them going for over 100, and the only one that didn't hit was the Green Bay Sunday night game where he rushed for 98 yards. So his lowest rushing total on the road, minus the one in Green Bay. So all the seven where he went over 100 was at 112 yards at Cincinnati. So there's going to be a question around that lowest rushing total on the season last year on the road where he went over 100. So there'll be a 112 question. I'll just leave it 112-yard question in pick six.
So you, the what you're referencing is last year, right?
Correct.
What he did
all
on the road.
Last season.
I'm going to give you – I went and looked this up after the show, after we had this conversation yesterday. I'm going to give you
– And by the way, Chase, real quick, for reference, for people tuning in that maybe didn't hear that in the last hour of yesterday's show, 9 home games yesterday, only 3 times he went over 100 in 9 home games.
Yeah.
8 road games, 7 times over 100, and the only time he didn't was 98 yards. Okay.
But listen to this, though. This is career. This is his entire NFL career. At home, 40 games, 26-14 is the win-loss, 600 attempts, 2,965 yards, 26 touchdowns, averages 4.94 a carry. That's in his career at home. On the road, 39 games played, 21-18, 599 attempts, 2,953, 29 touchdowns, 4.93 yards an attempt. Like, yeah. He's right there.
I mean, I'd like to know, though, the 100-yard barrier, the breakdown of home to road, because we know it's very
career,
lopsided last year. Has it been that way his whole career?
I can look, but I just thought that just the straight up split of home and road is like the same in his career.
Well, I mean, I've got 2019 pulled up, so I mean, we could do it quickly. Let's see, at Jacksonville was their first road game under 100. At Atlanta, right at 100 yards. At Denver, 28 yards. We remember that was the 16-0 stinker. That was the end of Mariota.
The end of the era.
At Carolina, 63 yards. At Indianapolis, 149. See, here we go. We get to December, and that's when we know the numbers always get inflated. At Oakland, 103. At Houston, 211. At New England for the playoffs, 182. At Baltimore in the playoffs, 195. At Kansas City, 69 yards. So not as much success, although definitely in December, let's see, he went over 100 every game except for the AFC Championship game in the month of December. And they started playing December 1st against Indianapolis. So
December's his best month.
No question.
By far.
Yeah,
He's had 2,000 yards in December.
Right, but the reason I brought that up is because not last year, though, right? Actually, that game was a December game. And so, you know, you're right. Traditionally, we always know that final month, and especially if they go into the playoffs, December and January has been his most productive time as an NFL running back. But it shows that last year was not the case. Like, he actually was having success early on, which makes you wonder, if he doesn't have success again in Seattle, let's say he goes for 78 yards, it doesn't feel like, even though we know there's an extra game, it certainly doesn't feel like he's well on his way to, you know, possibly being that first ever guy, right? Like, he's going to have a whole lot of ground to make up to even get close, even close to the number last year.
Well, this is what he did last year. September 319, October 344, November 594, December 520, and then January 250 with one game.
Well, and all that to say, he didn't get off to a fast start last year. With 2 or 3 weeks left in the season, I don't think we were thinking 2,000 yards.
But that's not true, though. He had 116 in the first game, 84 in the second game, 119 in the third game. I mean, he was already rushing for over 300 yards in the first 3 games.
Yeah, I guess last year was...
We're talking about 2,000 yards, though, with about 3 or 4 games left in the season.
But you said he got off to a slow start. I mean, 116, 119 in 2 of the 3 games is not a slow start.
How many carries did he have in the first game?
31.
Yeah, I mean, he that was a good game. I didn't say he was bad, but I'm not going to write it off in a 17-week season if he has less than 100 this week, because
really? Okay.
he has huge games. That's how he...
right.
gets there.
He's going to have some of those like he did
That's
last
what
year.
You would
like
think.
He's going to have some 200.
He hasn't hit the home run yet.
We had three last year in the regular season.
Yeah.
Three 200-plus yard games.
He also has that ability to, in one carry, get that average yards per carry way up because he can go for 60.
Yep.
Score from anywhere on the field. But just I think you know, it's one game at a time. You got to just work it out. I'm going Peter Laviolette still in. I just can't see an explanation for anything different on the road as opposed to home. So I'm it's an interesting theory, but I'm not buying into any reason, turf versus grass, anything like that. I just think that he's going to get his yards if he's healthy and going. I don't think it has anything to do whether he's on the road or not. The thing that's interesting to me, from what I've been reading, Seattle's defensive front is quite similar to how the Cardinals play. So the theory is that they're going to try to come after him the same way. Seattle did a very good job against Indianapolis's running attack. So I'm really curious to see how the Titans go about it. Do they try to throw on first down a little bit more? How do they try to get him on track? The weakness on paper for the Seahawks is at corner. They've got some inexperienced corners. You would feel like there's good matchups with Jones and Brown to a degree in this game. Certainly there was nothing that the Colts did special to hurt them. This is a very confident team coming in. Like we were talking about, the press conference for Pete Carroll was like, anybody else got more questions? I'm enjoying this. You know, there was really nothing negative that happened in that first game. So that might be a good time to go play them. You got a team that's got a lot to prove against a team that's feeling pretty good about themselves.
Oh, I think it's going to be a good game. And look, earlier this week, I said, and at the time, I wasn't making a prediction, but I said that between the Colts and the Titans, that I felt like one would go out and would redeem themselves and one would win. Now, Tim Hasselbeck disagreed with that. Tim Hasselbeck said he thought both would be 0-2 coming into week three next week in Nashville. He did say that on Wednesday.
He did.
I don't think the Colts are beating L.A., even though they're going to be at home. I don't think the Colts are beating the Rams. I do think the Titans are going to go out and win this game. I think bounce backs are something that they're accustomed to, especially under Vrabel and especially under Tannehill. You know, since Tannehill took over, they consistently bounce back, and they haven't had a ton of, you know, bad games like you saw last week. Last week was a bad game. There's no other way to put it. They've had, you know, Cleveland, I guess, what was it, 2 years ago was a bad game. They did bounce back. If you go and look at the final score, you may think, okay, it was close. It wasn't. That was in the second half. They were able to try and come back, but it wasn't enough. But they typically respond. And, you know, all of the individuals that we've talked about this week that didn't play well in week one, I feel like that they are capable of responding. With Lawan, it's just how healthy is the knee? Is he still going to have that same, you know, speed that he's been known to have, or is he still working to work back to that? We'll just have to see. But I do. I think they go into what Lumen Field now, I think is what it's called, and
sure,
and get the dub.
I will say this. They didn't really have a stinker last year. I guess the Green Bay one at the end of the year was a stinker. That was a dud.
That Thursday night game against the Colts was
– That was a stinker.
That was a stinker.
Yeah.
Not for the full game.
It wasn't
They played some bad halves.
Yeah, they played a bad half.
Some very stinker halves. Back. The first half against the Browns was a terrible half.
Yep.
The first half against the Steelers was a terrible half. They kind of had a stinker against the Bengals, you would have to say. But
we're talking about stinker. Like Sunday was a stinker.
That was a new level.
Yeah.
A new level of stinker. That's what I think has to happen this week. Because I think we know that they have pretty good players, especially on offense. So do they look together? Do they look coordinated? That's how you have to start. Can they block some people? If they can, I think they'll make some plays. But if they look discombobulated again, then they could look.
Yeah.
They could stink it out again. I mean, that's what was just so shocking. They didn't look on the same page at all. You knew there were reasons why with all of the people that missed all the practices, but with some determination here in this, you know, wake-up call, whatever you want to talk about, I just hope that they're much more focused and together when they come out there on Sunday.
It would be hard to buy that they could actually be worse. I mean, honestly, like it's virtually impossible for them to go out there, I think, and be worse. I mean, I guess it could happen. Sure, anything is possible. But I mean, there's really no history to show us under Mike Vrabel that this team could go out and play. Has there ever been two eggs, like back to back eggs?
I mean, no, I was looking earlier.
Clunkers.
In the Cleveland game I was thinking of, that was last year. That was a stinker. I put that as a stinker.
But they came back and lost by six.
I know.
They came back. Like, it's a 60-minute game. There's no way a 41-35 game could be deemed a stinker.
They were down 17-0 early. They looked discombobulated all over the place. Kendall Lamb caught a touchdown pass.
He did.
Caught a touchdown pass. And, yeah, you're right. They did. They came back. But Corey Davis scored the touchdown in the second quarter, so it was 17-7. But then Peoples-Jones had that 75-yard pass from Baker.
Who had a touchdown last night.
Yep. And so that was one. And then Higgins had one. Chubb had one. And so it was 38-7. And then they started to come back in the second half. And so, yeah, I'll give you that they came back. But it's still – if you want to – I mean – say that it was a stinker of a first half, I still think that goes towards the whole game because they lost. If they don't have that kind of start, then the outcome is different.
There's no way a game could be deemed a stinker if you come back. Like, that's the reason last week is a stinker. Like, it was start to finish, never a game. Like, there was no fight at all. True?
True.
None. No fight. That's a stinker. That's a dud. Like, a team that's fighting to the end, I don't know how you could say it's a stinker if they're fighting. Like, that team had no fight last week. It was never a game. It was never going to be a game. They could have played four more quarters. It wasn't going to be a game. I mean, yeah, did they have stinker quarters last year? Did they have a stinker halves last year? Yeah, but did they come back and battle? Yeah. And I don't know how you could deem that a stinker if you're still fighting. There was no fight last week. That's what I'm saying. It would be hard for me to imagine that they come out and lay two eggs, back-to-back eggs, which means there would be no fight in Seattle.
Right, which I don't – and I'm trying to look to see since Vrabel's been here.
Has there ever been – I can't – I don't remember back-to-back duds.
Maybe the first year. 2018.
Yeah, that's where I was going
to go. 2018 in November, they lost 38-10 to the Colts on the road, and then 34-17 the next week to Houston.
That was the Dean Pease, right? Isn't that when he left the game? That was bad. And then
the next week against Houston.
I don't remember much about that game. Usually Texans games are forgettable. Yeah.
And then they barely beat the Jets the following week at home. But
I mean, the Indy game was a stinker. Was the Houston game a stinker? I don't know if I don't remember much about that game. That was what, the Sunday after Thanksgiving? That game?
Which one? The Indy game?
The Texans game. No, the Indy game was, I remember. I mean, no, that was the Dean Pease
the Houston,
left.
The Texans game was a Monday. It was a Monday night game.
Oh, it was a Monday night game. Okay. Yep.
Was that the Luke Stocker 4th-and-1 carry?
Oh, you know what? That may be the game.
I think that was the game. They got blown out eventually.
Yeah. So maybe that one that qualifies?
I think it's fair to say we would agree.
Jared's listening and says it was the Luke Stocker game.
Yeah. I think it's fair to say that Mike Vrabel gets high marks for the most part in having his team ready to play and minimizing what we're defining as a stinker, or at least for a half. The thing I'm concerned about, though, is Downing.
Yeah,
that's the thing, and the offensive line issues, the coordination of their meal ticket. Their meal ticket is their offense. It's got to carry them, and if the meal ticket all of a sudden isn't what it's supposed to be,
trouble.
They're going to lose. You're not going to beat Seattle unless you hang some points up there. You're just not going to shut them down with the defense that they have against that talent with Metcalf and Russell Wilson and all those guys. They're going to score. So the offense has to get it together and carry the team. And well, after all of the issues of last week, can they clean them all up with a brand-new offensive coordinator? That's where I have more questions. I think you're going to see much more emotion and fire and be ready to play, all of that. But it's going to have to be together on offense because they're going to need a great effort.
My hope is that Downing and Tannehill get on the same page because I didn't feel like they were. And, you know, whether that's first game and, you know, like we've talked about, Tannehill was out with COVID. They missed some valuable time working together, but they got to get on the same page because, yes, everybody's going to say, well, it starts with Henry. You got to get Henry going. But really it starts with the quarterback. I mean, the quarterback has to be in sync with everybody. And that's what you're going to be looking for early on, whether they hand the ball off on the first play or he's trying to throw it on the first play. It's really all going to start with 17 and whether that whether he can be the field general, game manager, however you want to put it, in this offense, like he has been with Arthur Smith. You know, I mean, this is where you're really going to, as we've said, where you're really going to find out what Tannehill is. He looked really, really good with Arthur Smith. They were on the same page from the very beginning, and it clicked. Can he do the same with Todd Downing? That's really what it's going to boil down to.
So far, the bettors do not think the Titans are going to respond because the line is going up. It's been going all Seattle's way. It started off at, what, 5? Now it's up to 6.5. So far, the bettors, whether it's the sharps or the public, they seem to be going Seattle way because it's up to 6.5. I don't think it'll get any higher. I don't think it'll get to that 7.
There's also some – I don't know if it has anything to do with it, but there are some interesting names coming and going on the limited and full participation on the Titans injury chart. And it's hard to know if it's kind of the old school Jeff Fisher, Floyd Reese, put everybody on there, strength in numbers, list them all as questionable, and, you know, we're – so you can't really get a read on who's really hurting and who's not.
Yeah.
But Bud Dupree missed a practice. You know, they're getting Reynolds back.
I got it right here. Yesterday.
Yeah, because there's guys added to the list on here.
Dupree was limited yesterday. AJ Brown.
That's a huge thing. Is he already hurting? What's the story with him? Like, if you're a worrywart, you got to be worried.
he's coming back.
There's a lot of reasons you can list as to why a worrywart would worry.
Who are the two guys that concerned you the most with their play last Sunday? Two guys coming off ACL.
Sure.
Right?
And look, LaJuan is not on the injury list. He's not listed. So Dupree was limited. A.J. Brown was a full. Firkser has been limited the last 2 days. Landry was limited on Wednesday, full yesterday. David Long was limited on Wednesday, did not practice on Thursday.
That's not
Caleb
a good sign.
Farley did not practice on Thursday after being full on Wednesday. And then Chris Jackson, Josh Reynolds, Derek Roberson were full both days.
Well, today we know Hooker too.
We know Hooker.
Well, he's on IR.
He's out.
Well, I'm saying reasons why the line may have gone from 5 to 6.5. I just don't know if there's any mystery in there as to
I don't think guys missing a Wednesday practice or Thursday practice moves the line. Today is the gauge. Who's out there today and who's not out there today is the real gauge. That's
a big one.
If you're going to be judging practice on where you're going to put your money on Sunday, then you're watching today very closely.
Yep.
By the way, Joe Dolan, who we have on all the time, great fantasy guy, fantasy guru, he said, listen to this stat. He tweeted out, Christian Kirk has 14 NFL touchdowns in his career. 9 of those have come in multi-TD games. So, in other words, he's feast or famine. Here's a little fantasy tip. They host the Vikings this week. I wouldn't play Christian Kirk if I were you. Because that just says he's just going to – he comes in bundles. Yeah, he comes in bunches. And he just had his bunches. So probably take a couple weeks off.
Smells like regression to me.
It smells a lot like regression. And it doesn't smell good if you've got him on your active fantasy roster. We'll come back. We'll start hour number 2. Big Joe on the go. We do that next.